You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the excellent card at Newmarket. It's 1,000 Guineas Day over at HQ. We've also got racing to come from Hamilton and Salisbury domestically, and there's one Irish card from Sligo. Be sure to join us here on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Ollie Pimlott, Alice Whitehouse-Jones and Paddy Aspel in the studio. But first things first, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is Rory Delaghi. Hello, Rory.
Good afternoon, Sam.
How are you today, sir?
I'm not too bad.
Good, good, good stuff. It's been a fantastic week of racing over on the Emerald Isle, Rory. We saw the mares in action on Friday, and it's very much the case on Saturday. We've got the likes of Apple's Jade and Limony and Slow Motion to come. But as I say, Friday was another day very much dominated by the mares. We'll start with Vroom Vroom Mag, first of all. A very impressive performance from her. She's been brought along patiently and gradually by Willie Mullins. First time she's raced against the boys, and was very impressive and looked a tough and ready winner.
Yeah, she's been an absolute star since joining Willie Mullins from Francois Nicole a couple of years ago, and she's gone unbeaten. And the remarkable thing about it is that not only has she been racing over hurdles and fences, I mean, she went straight over fences on debut for Willie Mullins at Wexford, but she's been trying all trips between 2 miles and 3 miles as well. Every time she's won, there's always been questions to answer in that, you know, she's just beating mares and she's just beating them in this kind of race. Would she be effective, you know, in a better class race, or effective against the boys, or effective at 2 miles? And those questions have always hung over her, and there she was given an opportunity to prove the doubters wrong yesterday and won an impressive style. I thought she beat the right horse as well. It's easy enough to say Identity Thief was well beaten in the champion, but he didn't give his running at Cheltenham. His early season form had suggested he was arguably the best of the hurdlers in Ireland outside of the Willie Mullins yard. So he pushed her reasonably hard, but she was always finding extra in the run-in. And again, given that she jumps hurdles with a little bit of air, it's remarkable how well she's done. And a remarkable how well Willie Mullins has done with his string of hurdlers. You know, for any stable to lose their best 2 mile hurdler, that would normally be a complete disaster.
Yeah.
He's lost his best and his second best, seemingly, in the space of a week or two. In February, and then within a few weeks, his super sub has come on and virtually broke the track record in the champion hurdle. That record is up for a bit of debate, given the way times are measured these days, but it still is a hugely impressive performance. She's then off the scene, and the super sub has come up and stepped up and done exactly the same as she has. So it's been tremendous. I know some people are a bit bored by the domination of Willie Mullins in this sphere, but he's not dominating with one horse that he can cherry pick with.
Yeah.
To be able to do this with five or six different horses at this level, you can't simply farm races. They've got to be exceptional horses. And, you know, we should fundamentally be delighted that we're seeing such good quality on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. You touched on it, Identity Thief there, Rory. A word for my tent or yours as well, back in third. A well-beaten third, but second at Cheltenham, second at Aintree, has taken in a lot of racing after that long break, and signs look positive going into next season. You can't really crib the horse yesterday, just looked a little bit over the top, as we said, took in a couple of hard races after a long while off, but things starting to go in the right direction for it again.
Yeah, but of course next year he'll be 9 going on 10. And the question is, you know, where exactly do you go with him? The disappointing thing about My Tent or Yours isn't that he's not a top quality horse, it's just that, you know, everything hasn't quite panned out for him. He's been a nearly horse all the way through his career. He looked a good thing in the Supreme, was beaten by Champion Fever under one of the finest rides you'll ever see at Cheltenham. And he's kept banging his head against a brick wall at the very top level since. Obviously, he won the Christmas hurdle, but that comes a long way down the pecking order. He ran a tremendous race to be second at Cheltenham. Fundamentally, that was a great training performance from Nicky Henderson, given that he'd been off the course for the best part of 2 years. And he's not been disgraced in two runs since. He's gradually slipping back in form terms. And this was maybe one run too many, given that he had a hard race at Aintree as well. And, you know, although he's only had three runs all season, he's been hard trained to get him on course for a race like the Champion Hurdle, and it's not easy for him to keep coming back for more. So hopefully he'll find his reward next season. But you know, when you're a 2 mile hurdler, 9 going on 10, or even a prospective novice chaser, it's tough at that sort of level. So, but fair play. I mean, he's proved some of the doubters wrong to a fair degree this season, even by being placed in the Champion Hurdle. I think plenty of people would have had him as a no-hoper. So to come back at all is a great achievement, and we should enjoy that for what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Another horse who caught the eye yesterday at Punchestown was another filly in the shape of Jer's Girl, who landed the Grade 1 Champion Novices Hurdle. For all it might not have been the grandest renewal of the race, and for all that she was getting lumps of weight due to the fact that she's a four-year-old and indeed that she was a filly, you can't help but be impressed with the manner of the victory, all things considered, Rory.
Yeah, she's... I don't think we should be getting carried away about what she's going to win next season. Mm. But, of course, it means that the Mare's division is looking very strong.
Yeah.
And there is a fair possibility that, you know, we're going to have one or two mares coming over to contest the top races, simply because they're good enough for it, rather than as an afterthought, as we've obviously seen this season. She's a real credit to Gavin Cromwell, who's had her throughout this season over hurdles. She showed immediately that she really enjoyed the game. I don't know why it is that Sons and Daughters of Jeremy seem to take so well to hurdling. They don't tend to be big. We saw Arconner, the ill-fated Arconner, absolutely run away with the Triumph Hurdle, the most impressive winner ever in that race. And she's very similar to him in that she just loves attacking her hurdles and getting on with it. I fell in love with her when I saw her win a listed hurdle at Aintree last back end, and she's just gone from strength to strength. Her only disappointment came on very, very testing ground at Leopardstown when she got involved in a battle for the lead. But generally speaking, she's taken her racing really well. I was slightly concerned yesterday that, you know, that it had been a very long season for her. I could see her running a little bit flat, but her enthusiasm was undimmed, and she's put up arguably her best performance. She's, strictly speaking, I suppose, she didn't have to improve to beat 007 in receipt of, £18, yeah, I think, in the end. She's getting plenty of weight from the others. But this was a decent enough field. You know, it wasn't full of absolute superstars, but in 007, in Thomas Hobson, Disco, horses like that, you had some very promising types, and she put them all to the sword. She won by 10 lengths and more, and you can't ask any more of her than that. She'll be a big a player in the Mare's Hurdle at Cheltenham next March, but, you know, that's putting everything into that bracket and looking towards one race next spring for any horse is a little bit dull, especially when we would say that the Mare's Hurdle, the David Nixon, doesn't tend to capture the public imagination that much. So there are plenty of other races for her between now and then. And indeed, she'd be interesting if they want to campaign her back in the flat. She'd have a reasonable handicap mark on the flat. And whether she'd be fully effective, I don't know, but plenty of top Irish hurdlers over the years have made it pay by running in the top Irish flat handicaps as well. So that's an option for her. And no doubt she'll be staying with the yard. Obviously, she's bought by JP McManus midway through the season. But it's his policy to keep his horses in the yards that he bought them from in the first place. So that's great news for small trainers.
Yeah, certainly is. As you mentioned there, it's a good time for the mares division at the moment. We've certainly seen a lot more exciting mares coming through. Is that a testimony and a credit to the improved mares programme that the BHA have been trying to roll out over the last year
there
or
might,
so?
There might be a little bit of belt and braces in there, in that you just happen to have seen an uplift in the quality of mares that we're seeing. Because when you improve the programme, you expect that to take the best part of a decade to really kick in. Because you've got to breed those mares in the first place. You've got to keep them racing. And in fairness, I suppose you did have a fair number of mares being bred, but there with less opportunities for them to race for decent prize money, or indeed for black type, a lot of them being retired earlier. So this at least gives an opportunity for those mares to race and pick up good prizes, and indeed black type, which then, you know, fuels the whole game again.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure this is a result of the change in program by the BHA, but it's a welcome change anyway.
Yeah, indeed. And as you said, looking forward to both Limini and Apple's Jade, and indeed Slow Motion on Saturday. It's a good time for the mares division. Anything else on your mind then from Friday before we move ahead to look at Newmarket on Sunday, Rory?
There was plenty to take in, but it'll take me a few days to for most of that to sink in. So I think I'll crack on to Sunday and then review the weekend in one fell swoop.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, fair enough. We'll move on to the Newmarket card then on Sundays. You said it's 1,000 guineas day at Newmarket. We'll come to that race in due course. But we begin with one of the hot handicaps on the day. We've got two handicaps to look at and two pattern races as well. But the 150 is the first one on our agenda. This is the Kipco Sporting British Racing Stakes, a handicap over a mile and a half. It's a Class 2 event with 10 runners down to contest this. A couple making their seasonal reappearance here, and doesn't look a bad heat, Rory.
No, it's not a bad contest. There are a couple of questions about it. There are some interesting horses in there, and I'm inclined to take a chance on one who's been disappointing. Arguably the most interesting horse in the race is Oceanographer. He's improved markedly since being gelded and being fitted with cheek pieces, but also his improvement has come on Polytrack. So given that he was beaten nearly 28 lengths the last time he contested a flat handicap on similar ground off a mark of 78, it takes a small leap of faith to back him off a mark of 103 back here at Newmarket. It may well be that, you know, he's very lightly raced anyway. He won his maiden on soft ground at Pontefract, but that would be, you know, 2 stone below the form at least that he needs to win this. It may simply be that he's improved in chunks and he's bred to be fully effective on this surface. So he's strictly speaking the dark horse, the least exposed horse in the race, and he could take another jump forward here. So I wouldn't rule him out. But the horse that I'm going to give a chance to here, and I think it's only going to be one chance, is Oasis Fantasy,
right,
who's very well handicapped in the form he was showing early last season. It's from a fantastic family, most of which have run in these colours. We've got the likes of Prince Gargaran, who was running for Ed Dunlop last season. You've got a number, Invincible Cara, Better Be Mine, also half brothers, half sisters to this one. But you know, you go back through the family, 3, 4, 5 generations, all running in these colours, multiple winners. Interestingly, the half brother Prince Gargaran was a winner of a decent race on his US debut at the weekend.
Okay.
Oasis Fantasy, like a lot of the family, probably wants fast ground, and any more rain would be a worry. But in saying that, I think you can forgive his reappearance run at Epsom when he was quite well fancied for the, I think it was the Great Metropolitan at Epsom, when he only finished 6th behind Barwick. That came on soft ground. Ryan Moore was riding. He was made favourite for that on the basis that he'd become well handicapped. I don't think he really handled the soft ground at Epsom. I don't think the going is going to be as much of an issue at Newmarket, even if we do get a little bit of rain this afternoon. I don't think he'll ride worse than good to soft. Ideally, it would need to be good for him, I would say. But he's got a couple of things in his favour here. One of them is the fact that several of the fancied horses in this race are desperate for the lead, and there's going to be a strong pace which will suit him. He's a strong traveller who tends to be held up in his races. Secondly, he's got Sylvester D'Souza on board, who I think, for all, you'd rarely have anyone over Ryan Moore. There are very few jockeys who ride this track better than Sylvester D'Souza, or ride any track better than Sylvester D'Souza. I think he's an exceptional jockey, which is why he's champion. I'm not saying for a second that he's better than Ryan Moore, but it wasn't a jockey issue last time when he was beaten at Epsom. I think Sylvester will be beneficial to this horse. And finally, he's wearing blinkers for the first time. Now, that's a killer cure thing. He can be quite keen in his races, and there is a possibility that wearing blinkers will send him over the edge. But actually, I think it might just help him concentrate, because he can be just a little bit tricky. And I think he needs headgear these days to help him out. His form figures aren't particularly inspiring, unplaced in his last 4 runs. But as a result, he's dropped a mark of 89. He was being placed in races off marks in the 90s last season in very competitive handicaps. He still retains all that ability, in my opinion. And as long as the ground doesn't get too soft, he's worth one last chance. If you've backed him in his last 10 starts and you've... you're heading towards the edge of the cliff, then by all means take a step back. But I haven't been following him in. I think horses like this are normally, when they're on a run, or a run of losing, and they're running every couple of weeks, you can leave them alone. You need something that changes to give them that catalyst to win, and what he has here, he's had a pipe opener, and he gets the blinkers on for the first time. So that may or may not work for him, but it is a decent reason for him to take a step forward. And I think on his best form, he'd go well. So he's my pick in that. But, you know, he is, by definition, a high-risk bet.
OK, Oasis Fantasy then for Ed Dunlop and Sylvester D'Souza gets the pick for Rory in the 150. We move ahead now to Newmarket's 225. This is the Dahlia Stakes. Filly's Group 2 here over a mile and a furlong. We've got nine runners down for this one. And the betting at the time recording is headed by Jazzy Top at 11-8. Amazing Maria is 5-1. Crystal Zvezda is 6-1. 15-2 for Usherette. Irish Rookie 9-1. Arabian Queen 12-1. And 14s. Bar those, what do you like in this field of fillies, Rory?
This is a lot easier for me in that there's an obvious each way bet in this contest, and that's Irish Rookie, who's one of the least exposed in the race. She didn't win last season, but she ran really well in the 1,000 guineas on her reappearance. She then ran an absolute blinder in the French version, only being beaten three quarters of a length into second by a genuinely top class filly in Hervedia. She ran below form and firm grounds in the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot subsequently. And I think one or two people would have been suggesting that maybe her form before that was a little bit of a fluke. But she came out after a break at Newmarket in October in the Sun Chariot Stakes. And she ran an absolute blinder to finish third to Esoterique and Integral, who are the best of the draw that day. That pair fought it out. Irish Rookie was the only one of the three-year-olds to make much of an impact against them and the only one to make much ground from off the pace at all. I thought, you know, she was better than the bare result. She was, because she was drawn widest of all that race, she was drawn 9 of 9, and the first and second were drawn 1 and 2 against the far rail. She was forced to race on her own, which might not have been have been helpful to her, but she still put up a career best effort. She's not raced on ground softer than good before. Again, I don't think it's going to get much worse than good to soft. But in fairness, Martin Mead's always maintained that she would be at least as effective on that sort of ground. Her runs happened to come, you know, she ran in races she was targeted at. She ran in four Group 1 races through the season, and they just happened to fall on fast ground. Had the ground turned out good to soft or soft on those occasions, then she would have been given a chance. I don't think she hasn't been saved for fast ground. Unlike a few of these, there are one or two who really do want it rattling fast. Amazing Maria, all her form is on good or quicker, and it seems the quicker the going, the better for her. David Amaras have normally needed a run this season. She needed a run last year. I napped her first time up in a handicap, and she got beaten. So I was absolutely gutted when she ended up winning two Group 1 races. I think she might just need it again. Arabian Queen's got arguably the best form on offer, having won the International at York, but most people believe that to be a little bit of a fluke. The race favourite, Jazzy Top, ran very, very well to go down in a photo behind Covert Love in the Prix de l'Opera. And that is probably the most reliable piece of form on offer. In saying that, that was easily her best effort in October. And although she'd shown smart form before that, it had been a few pounds behind that. You just wonder whether she suddenly improved right at the end of the season, whether everything fell right for her that day, or she just happened to improve like a lot of fillies do in the autumn. I think the balance of her form means she's not as far clear as the ratings would suggest. I think she's only got 1 or 2 pounds in hand on a couple of these, and she's put in an odds on in the first place, and that's too short. She's more like sort of 11-8 shot now, isn't she? Which is fair, but not attractive for a filly making her seasonal reappearance. You can't really be backing fillies in Group 2, Group 3 races at very short prices. History shows that that's a quick way to the poorhouse. So with nine runners and a good each way shape to the race and a couple who can't win it, I thought that Irish Rookie was a terrific bet. I'd make her shorter than 9-1. I'd put her in at around 7-1, 15-2. But she has been double figure prices for this, so she looks a solid each way bet to me.
Okay, Irish Rookie then the choice each way for Rory in the 225. We move on to another warm handicap now coming up at 3 o'clock. This one over 6 furlongs. 17 runners down for this class 2. What do you make of these sprinters, Rory?
Tough contest this. But I thought Dugan could be different class. But obviously his winning has been done on Polytrack and Tapita, so he needs to prove he's going to be effective on turf. He's bred to be just as good. in fairness. And I've got a lot of respect for him. And John Babb, who had a winner yesterday, picked up for 800 quid.
Yep.
Fair play to Mr. Babb, a very shrewd operator. And Dugan's another one who should do very well. It's always interesting to see how people name their horses as well. And obviously,
the Wolves
John
connection.
being a Wolves fan, Derek Dugan, one of the all time greats. I am going to go against him though, just on the basis that we don't know quite what he's capable of doing on turf. And Newmarket's never the easiest track to race on if you're having your first turf start. I'm going to go for a horse whose record in Newmarket is very good, particularly with digging the ground, and that's Tarentum Star, who was a winner here at the Craven meeting under Jamie Spencer. Ryan Moore takes over. I'd say that's a positive, if anything. Kevin Ryan having a good season. Tarentum Star very lightly raced, and his form's been up and down. Then again, a lot of horses from the Ryan yard were a little bit in and out last season. They're a lot more solid this time around. He's had two runs at Newmarket with Given the Ground. He's won both of them. He's also run at Newmarket on fast ground and finished dead last. So I think the key to him is he does need a little bit of ease. So good soft ground would be absolutely fine for him. I think he's very well positioned the way this goes as well, because the pace in the race is going to come from around him as well. The likes of New Bidder is drawn next to him. He's the likeliest leader in the race. And the other pace angle I thought was probably on his side as well, with Yao, who was third behind him last time out and wouldn't be out of this either. But he's drawn one. The other pace angle is drawn five, and the selection's in four. So I think it gets a nice toe through it. It might be a little bit harder for those on the near side to get involved. That's always a bit of a guess, really, until you see what kind of pace they do go from the start. But it appears that the low numbers have a slight edge in that regard. And Tarentum Star, given his good record here and with Ryan Moore on board, he'd get the vote.
Tarentum Star, it is then for Rory in that 3 o'clock race. We move on to the feature race of the day now, the 1,000 Guineas, the 203rd edition of the 1,000 Guineas. This comes up at 3:40. A mile trip for these fillies, and at the time recording, Minding heads affairs at 5-4. It's 4-1 about Lumiere. Ballydoyle is 6-1, 10-1 for Nathra. Illuminate is a 14s chance, and it's 16s or bigger for the rest of them. All the talk has been about Minding leading up to this race, Rory. There's one or two in behind that would probably want it quicker than the good to soft, good in places that's been advertised. But Minding looks on paper the one they have to beat.
Yeah, based on the form she showed over course and distance last autumn, won the Fillies Mile. Fillies Mile winners have a very mixed record in the 1,000 Guineas, and most horses who are fully effective at a mile at two would want a little bit further as three-year-olds. So I'd be more inclined to find one who had a bit, the speed to win over six last season. And the one that I'd be with here would be Lumiere. I mean, I fully respect Minding's chance, and there's a chance that one or two of those who've been racing over shorter won't quite stay. Nathra's already boosted the form by winning the Nell Gwyn. Unfortunate for me, I napped the runner-up at 50-1, but such is life. Lumiere, she won the Cheveley Park here last year. She's had three runs, two at Newmarket. She won both of those, making all the running. And she was a little bit unlucky in that she took a real grip at York on her second start. The key to her is not to fight her. And I was impressed with how she won the Cheveley Park in the end. She was up against very good fillies that day as well. Illuminate, who's quite a big price going into this again, was very, very solid last season, and Bashara was the other one. They'd been running in all the top races, and they dominated the contest. Lumiere only won by half a length and a head. But to be honest, she had the race won at halfway. She pressed on really early, got the other side of the comfort zone, and then she was slowing down in the latter stages. You can look at that two ways and say, well, it shows that she wouldn't stay a mile. Or you can say that, if she was used in the same way and made her effort at the same sort of time, she would get up the hill. And she's actually a fair bit better than the bare result. She's not a sprinter to my eye. She's just a lovely free goer with a long stride who uses it well. I think she will stay a mile. She'll certainly stay beyond seven furlongs. The mile at Newmarket can become testing because of the uphill finish. But it is it's downhill to the most part, and she can really use her stride going into the dip. And I think, again, she's got the ability to get most of these in trouble, as long as they've got the confidence to use her like that. Of course, Mark Johnson won this with Attraction many moons ago, and she was deemed to be a 5 furlong horse by most people. You know, she won the Queen Mary in really good style as a 2-year-old, and she really was all speed. She just blasted from the gates. Lumiere is a lot. She's not in the same mould, as I said. She's more of a fluent mover and an easy goer. But Attraction won the Guineas and proved herself fully effective at a mile, and I think Lumiere will as well. And if that's the case, then she should be shorter in the betting than she is.
Okay, Lumiere, the pick then 4-1 at the time of recording. Thank you for that, Rory. If you could just remind us, please, one more time, your 4 selections for the opening 4 contests on 1,000 Guineas Day.
Yes, in the opener, I go for Oasis Fantasy. The Dahlia Stakes, I'm with Irish Rookie each way. The 6 furlong sprint, Torontum Star is the pick. And in the Guineas itself, Lumiere can make all the running.
Thank you very much, Rory, and enjoy the action on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio on Sunday from 1:35 p.m. With Ollie Pimlott, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Paddy Aspel in the studio for the action at Newmarket, Hamilton, Salisbury and an Irish card at Sligo. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.